Genesis chapter number 11. Thank you for your attention to the things of the Lord. I'm just going to read the passage if you'll follow along. 11:27, and we're going down to 12:3. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begat Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years. Ooh-wee, that's a lot of candles. That's a lot of candles on that cake. Amen. 205 years. Have you ever thought about that? Methuselah's cake, how big that thing must have been. 969 candles. You know, I can imagine with him, you know, singing happy birthday, it probably got a little old at about 968. Okay, guys, I'll just blow them out, all right? And the days of Terah were 205 years. Terah died in Haran. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said, notice that past tense. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Had he done that yet? No. But he had already been told to do it. But he hadn't done it yet. Past tense, had, right? And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He definitely did that. We'll talk about that. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'd like to speak to you this morning regarding the life of Abraham, the call to a life of faith. The call to a life of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we yield this time to you as we have yielded every other part of it, but we ask, Holy Spirit of God, that you would empower your word, that this weak vessel would not be in the way of your power, because as the men just sang, you're powerful, you're almighty. King of kings and Lord of lords. And I ask, God, that your word today would, as your word says, that it would not return void. I pray, Lord, that you would clear my mind and empty it of whatever should not be said and fill it with what should be said. Empty us, any of us that are here today or anyone listening, of ourself. And as believers, fill us with the Spirit of God that we might have greater understanding. It might be one verse, it might be one principle that we needed to hear today. Help us not to miss it. Help us not to be distracted by the things of tomorrow or the things of this week coming up or the things that already happened, but help us to be in tune right now with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. There are few men in our Bible, outside the Lord Jesus Christ that are emphasized and had greater impact than the character that we're looking at this morning. The man by the name of Abram, who would later be called Abraham. In fact, this man is actually lifted up by over one half of the world's population. Jews, Muslims, and Christians, all three will look at Abraham with a great deal of honor and respect. That makes up over half the world's population, if not even more now. He is presented to us in the scriptures as a man of great faith. If you will hold your place in the book there of Genesis and go all the way back to the hall of faith, that is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. And he actually receives many verses about him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And it goes on there. I won't take time to read it all, but we definitely see that he is a man that it's recorded in the word of God for all of us to read from generation to generation, who is a man of faith. Just because he was a man of faith doesn't mean that he always had faith. So all of us here today, I hope we want to be men and women of faith, but that doesn't mean that 100% of the time we're going to make every decision based on faith. We know he didn't based on his record that we will come to. I don't know if this morning, but maybe later. Also, we know in our Bibles that in the book of James, the apostle James lists Abraham as the friend of God. The friend of God. I mean, I don't think it's listed anywhere else in the Bible that it was said quite like that. So this is someone who still to this day, he's been in the presence of the Lord, his Lord and Savior for many, many years. But when we mention his name, I think most of us might quickly come up with the word faith. Now, there's other words that we might think of when we think of him, but that's got to be one of them, probably the top three words that we come up with. And that would be, I would hope today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I would hope it is your goal to have an increase of faith. We find it even in the New Testament where it says in there, please increase our faith. You know what that means though? When you are asking for an increase of faith, you aren't asking for an easy road. Because when you have an easy road, your faith is not going to grow. Your faith is going to stay the same. But when you start to go on a bumpy road in life, and God gets you through that bumpy road, guess what happens? Your faith grows. It only grows as the challenges of life come, and by the grace of Almighty God, by faith, we pass those challenges of life that come, and they're in our rearview mirror now, and we say thank you God for getting us through that very challenging time, and our faith goes from maybe a 5 up to a 10, and you can understand what I'm saying. That is the Christian life in a nutshell. From one challenge to the next, I will tell you this, that God will never let you down. Never. Man will let you down every time. Now, that doesn't mean we don't trust anybody. What it means is we don't focus on man. We focus our eyes of trust on the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Ben Turner. Go ahead, add your name to the list. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Barry Cahill. Hallelujah. Amen. And so what happens is, as we go through these things, God reveals himself to us in the challenging times of life, and he never fails. God is calling us today. God is calling you today, not to live by sight, but to live by faith. God is calling us to live by faith. One day, though, when we get to heaven, we read it earlier, we sang it earlier. I hope we can all say, when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory. But when we get to heaven, I'm so thankful that we will no longer be living by faith. We will now be living by sight. And that day will come. In fact, that day might come this week. That day might come next month. That day might come. I don't know when it's coming, but there's coming a day. We'd have no more pain. But until then, we say to the Father, Father, increase my faith. What we read just a moment ago teaches us, though, about the early years of Abram's life. You saw some begats and things like that. Don't ignore the begats. All the scripture is profitable and it's inspired. And so we see a little bit of his history. We see a little bit of his lineage, if you will. The early days and of Abram, or anyone's life for that matter, whether it be before we came to Christ or when we were in Christ, we learn some valuable lessons about God. We learn about the ways of God, and what we learn, what our response should be to God. Now, I know for sure that there's been some times in my life when my response to God has not been what it should be. And I have to repent of that. By the way, you don't just repent when you get saved. You have to repent many, many times in your life. That doesn't mean you're not getting saved. You're not getting saved again. Let us understand something this morning before we advance in the scriptures. When you come to Christ, when you recognize that you are a sinner and you recognize from the scriptures that you deserve to go to hell, which you do if you are alive here today, that's what you deserve. All of us here today deserve that. Every man other than the Lord Jesus, ever born of woman, deserves to die and, as they say, split hell wide open. That's what I deserve. That's what Ben Turner deserves. But I'm so thankful there's a message in this book right here that God's enabled me to preach for over 2 decades. To God be the glory. And this message is, I don't have to go there. By the grace of God, I can be saved. And by the grace of God, you can be saved. Think about when you got saved, church. And by the grace of God, you can have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And by the grace of God, you can know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm thankful for the assurance of my salvation. Nothing can take me out of the Father's hand. Nothing. John chapter number 10. And so I'm grateful for that. Yes, we might doubt God. Welcome to the life of increased faith. It involves doubt at times. We may not trust God. We need to grow from that. Proverbs said it. If you read Proverbs 3 this morning, you read it with me. Trust in the Lord with some of thine heart. That's not what it said in my Bible. What did it say in your Bible? All thine heart. All means all, and that's all means, right? Trust in the Lord with all. That means trust in the Lord with your family. That means trust in the Lord with your health. That means trust in the Lord with your career. That means trust in the Lord with the future. By the way, the future's in the hand of God today. Don't worry about the future. I'm praying for some things. Yes, we should be praying for the country to our south this coming Tuesday as they have a little bit of a thing happening called an election. We should be praying for them. But I'm not worried about that because that's in the hand of Almighty God. And God is sovereign and God is all powerful. Since it is true that God has and is calling each of us to a life of faith, and He is. And since we have trouble many times living that way, can I get an amen there? Many times we're living by sight and we're doubting, but we need to live by faith. So let's look at several things this morning and trust that the Lord will help us. Number one, we see in verses 27 to 30 of our text, pardon me, we see Abram's past obscurity. Past obscurity. Notice this area where he is. He is in the land of Ur. You are Ur of the Chaldees. That is located in what today we would call Iraq. You probably have heard of that more than Ur. It was the southeast corner of Iraq, or Ur, some 75 miles north of the Kuwaiti border. In fact, if you were alive or you've heard about the Persian Gulf War in 1991, this area was basically right in that general area. Isn't it amazing how that history just continues right on? A lot of unbelievable things, if you will, and amazing things happening in a very small space of land. By the way, it's going to continue that way all the way until when the Lord comes back. Hallelujah for that. He was located near the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River empties into the Persian Gulf. This is where he was. And it was very busy at that time. India and Africa, much was going on in those areas, if you will, of where they are now. And it was an area that it was great for raising, you rear kids and raise animals, okay? Raising flocks and herds. Again, we know about Abram and his life that for many years he was involved in that for most of his life. So it's obviously why that is the case. This was an area that we would say on paper was very prosperous. It was booming. It was excelling. It was a place that you might even say, this is where I would want to be. Because I could have a business here. I could do things here. But also, this area was involved in some of the most wretched forms of idolatry. It was known for astrology and the worship of the stars and the moon. Let me take you, if you'll hold your place in Genesis 11, and quickly turn over to Joshua 24. I'm so glad how the Bible explains the Bible. Amen? And so we can go to people. The pastor would love to help you. But I'll just tell you right now, I don't have all the answers. But my Lord does. The Holy Ghost that lives inside of you, if you're saved, does. But I'm so thankful how the Bible answers itself. Look quickly, if you would, at Joshua. Help if you got the right book. Joshua 24, that is the right book. Verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. In old time, even who? Terah. Did we read about him earlier? Yeah, we sure did. The father of Abraham, the father of Nahor. And notice what it says. They served what? Other gods. And so this area that we're reading about today in Genesis chapter 11 was an area that Joshua is speaking about right there in Joshua chapter number 24. And so you think about, this is what Abraham was living in. This is what Terah was living in. This is what generations were living in. And, you know, fast forward ahead to where we are today. Nothing has changed. There are still false gods all around us. They may not be made of wood, but they are there. There are many false gods out there that we need to be guarded from in our life. And that's not really the subject for today. We are entrapped in the same darkness. We have darkness in our world today. By the way, the devil is the prince and power of the air. Now, the devil is not omnipresent. Jesus is omnipresent. The devil is not. But the devil has a team. He has a team of workers that we call demons. And they are going about doing the dirty, dastardly deeds of the devil. And we need to be on guard. This is no time to let down our guard. This is the time to raise our guard. This is the time to look into the scriptures even more and walk by faith and not by sight. Well, it was the same 6,000 or however many thousands of years ago in Abram's day. No different than today. I'm glad, though, that we both serve a God, whether it be before the flood or after the flood. We both serve a God that can take the darkest of heart and turn it and make it clean. Today, maybe if you would consider how you were or what you were before you came to Christ, what you were doing, and now that you are saved, your soul has been made alive and it's been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer in darkness. You're no longer, when the Lord looks at you, he doesn't see whatever your past was. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees that you are washed and made clean. That God is still doing that work today. It's why we must get the gospel out. It's why the tracts must go forth. It's why we must knock on doors. It's why we must go to the sky trains. It's why we must write letters to our family. It's why we must not miss an opportunity. I'm so glad that God can make us new. God can make us new for his glory. We won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 5:17 talks about that. God can make us new for his glory. So the first thing we see is Abraham in his past obscurity. The second thing we see Unfortunately, though, is we see Abram's partial obedience. Again, I emphasized it earlier, but look, if you will, in verse number 12, chapter 12, verse 1. If you just pray that I could think straightly, I want to honor the Lord. Chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." Now, I don't know when that took place, but I know it was past tense. But yet Abram is still dwelling in the place where he wasn't supposed to be. We don't know how the call came, but we know that God spake to Abraham. Now, what did Abraham, or Abram, I should say, what did Abram not have that we have today? He didn't have one of these, right? This is the word of God. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you hold it up? Would you hold up your Bible? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. You've got the greatest book. You can put it down. You've got the greatest book ever written because the author is ever living. The author is divine. This is not a book of man's opinion, no matter what some may say. Oh, that's just man's opinion. No, this is the word of God. Now, Abram did not have a copy of the word of God. I'm so glad I have a copy of the word of God. This is the one that was given to me back in 2001 when Anchor Baptist Church started the church. This is a precious copy. Every one of them is precious. Amen. But he didn't have that. And so God spoke to him directly. And he said, "Abram, get thee out of thy country, unto a land that I will show thee." He didn't tell him where that land was. He didn't tell him where he was going to go. He just said, "Pack up your bags and head out." And the Bible says, though, that now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country." Abram was called to leave behind everything that he loved. He was called to leave behind everything that had shaped him to that point. He was to leave it all in the hands of the Lord. Think of this now. This is the faith that comes in. Can you imagine? Could you imagine if the Lord, let's just say you're Abram or you're Mrs. Abram, you're Sarah, okay? And your husband or you, that you're the man, you know, and all of a sudden one day you're just out tending the sheep, you know, you're out there doing what you're supposed to do. And all of a sudden you hear this voice, "Abram." I don't know if that's what God sounds like. And he tells Abram, "You know what, Abram, your days here are done. But God, this is the only, I've lived here all my life. What are you talking about? Where am I going? Don't worry about it. I'll let you know later. Just, you're going to pack up. You're going to go." Could you imagine if God just spoke to you in some way and you've lived here in Vancouver your whole life, or you've lived here for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and just in some way, God came to you and said, "Okay, I want you now to do this." And you're thinking, "God, that has nothing to do with what I'm doing now." And yet you know God is speaking. By the way, I want you to know that while I do believe that God isn't going to necessarily boom his loud voice to you on the street somewhere, but that's why you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and his voice is just as loud. And I do believe that God speaks, and I do believe that God works in mysterious ways. And we are asking that God would help Anchor Baptist Church to be a sending church. Please don't let the voice of God be soft and weak in your life, that you've got so much of the world and so much of the flesh and so much of these things of this world in your life, that when the voice of God through the word of God or by the Spirit of God says, "Okay, I want you to go and I want you to be a missionary over here," that you can't hear what he's saying. Or you might even say, "But God, you don't understand." Believe me, God understands. Believe me, God knows what he's doing. When the call of God does come to our life, sometimes we must sever all ties with everything in our past. You know, there are many people today, maybe even in this room, that you're still hanging on to some friends that really are not good for you. That doesn't mean that you're to be unfriendly to anyone. But you must be very careful who your close friends are. If they don't elevate you to walk with God more, they should not be your close friend. You should be the one bringing them to the Lord, and I should be the one bringing them to the Lord. And so you really need to ask the Lord to show you and help you with that. I'm not the Holy Spirit, folks. I've said that to people for over 20 years. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have this book right here. And when we follow the ways of God, they will always turn out right. It may not turn out how we thought, but they will always turn out right. What would you rather have, what you thought or what God wanted? Well, I tell you what, let's pray and ask God for the faith to take what God wants in our life, because that's what we need. God is calling you, just like he called Abram, to a new place, to a new life, to new priorities. Turn it with me, please, in your Bible to the book of Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we read here in verse number 24. I'm sure it's a verse that you've read before, a passage that you've thought about. It's right after Peter was saying to the Lord about his being crucified, I believe it was. And Peter was not happy with that. And then the Lord was not happy with Peter. Because, Peter, you're getting in the way of what my Father's doing, so get out of here. No, get thee behind me, right? It wasn't that he was calling him Satan. It's what he was doing. Just a little subnote here in verse number 23. He was saying, what you're doing right now is the work of Satan. You're saying, no, you're not going to the cross. Well, that's not the work of the Lord, is it? Because if Jesus doesn't go to the cross, we don't have salvation. And so that's what he was doing there. But look at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. So he's just rebuked Peter. And now he says to all of them, if any man, and that's not talking about males, it's talking about men or women, will come after me. If we're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what Christ says. We must deny ourselves. Is yourself pretty powerful? Yes or no? Is yourself powerful? Yes, it is. I'll answer it for you. If we let ourself have its way, we're never going to follow what God wants us to do. We've got to die to self. Paul said it. I die every day. What is he saying? Every day when I wake up, myself is right there to greet me and say, hello, Paul. I'm here to do whatever I want to do today. You know what? He does that in Ben's life too. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what God's calling you to do today. That's what God's calling me to do today. This is a new priority. This is a new way of life. Leaving the old behind and beginning this new life of faith. Praise God you got saved. Praise God you got baptized. Praise God you joined the church. Now what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Every day. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. What does that look like? It looks like we have gospel tracts with us, and that's a prayer card. Okay, we're still praying for Kathy, all right? And that means we have these available, and we're not going to let the fear of man. We read it this morning. Did you hear Jacob read it this morning? It goes right along with this message. I had no idea it was going to turn out like this. Again, don't discount the scripture reading at the start of the service with even the message at the end. Because many times they do this. And God's Spirit is taking his hammer and saying, I'm pounding that truth in a little harder. He said the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. That's what a snare is, right? That little rabbit, that little squirrel coming by and there's a trap or whatever animal it is. And the fear of man bringeth it. And so what does that look like? Deny self, take up cross daily. Follow me. It looks like carrying gospel tracts and giving them to people that might cause us a little bit of fear, but we need not have fear. Let's love the Lord and then we'll love people. It means that when God lays somebody on our heart, we don't just let it go. We stop right what we're doing and we pray for them. You have time. We all have time to pray. You know what? If it's when you're driving, pray for them. Don't close your eyes. Keep driving, but pray for them. What does it look like to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me? It might mean, yes, that God's calling you to be a missionary to a foreign country. It means being willing and saying, yes, I'll go. I'll surrender. I don't really know, but I'm surrendered to the will of God for my life. What does it look like? It looks like being a gospel. What does it look like? It looks like giving to missions. It looks like tithing. It looks like being friendly to one another. How do people know that that we are believers, that we have love one for another? That's what it looks like. It's doing good to one another and especially to the household of faith. That's what it looks like to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. What does it look like? It looks like coming to church when the doors are open and you're physically able. What does it look like? You could just go on and down the line. That's what it looks like. This call of faith that came to Abraham, that comes to us, is a call for us to leave the details with God. Boy, I tell you what, that's not easy. Leave the details with God. Notice, if you will, in our text, the Bible says that they came to a place called Haran. Haran. And the Bible says that they dwelt there. They dwelt there. Verse number 31. They dwelt there. If you look at a map, Haran is northeast of the Promised Land. Northeast of the Promised Land. Now, this is not where God told Abram to go. This was not where he was supposed to be. He had not followed through completely on what the Lord had called him to do. And some will say, and I will agree, that impartial obedience is disobedience. Don't go halfway, go all the way for God. Live your life for the Lord. And again, I'm not saying that there's not a battle. There's always a battle. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You have the Lord to help you to overcome. Abram has failed to separate from his family as God had called him to do. What has the Lord told you to do? What has the Lord told me to do in my life that I've done partial, but not all the way? Now, God's commands are capable of being obeyed, but they're not always easy. Can I say that again? God's commands are capable of being obeyed, but they're not always easy. Some of them are costly. I'm not talking about money necessarily. Some of them are difficult. Would you go to 1 Samuel 15, though? I pray that we are here this morning, that we want to hear from heaven. I hope God is speaking to you even now. I hope our goal is to please God and not man. I pray that our goal is to walk by faith and not by sight and to give God all the glory. 1 Samuel 15 and 22, we're almost done. That clock says 12:45. Whew, the roast has burnt today, ladies. I'm sorry. That's because that clock never fell back. Okay, here we go. It's only 11:45. Don't worry. Where are we? We're in church. Okay. 22. And Samuel said, he's talking to King Saul, because Saul obeyed, but not all the way. Not good. Because Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? You know, if you look back up, please, to verse number 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, this is Saul now, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. True or not true, if you know anything about the story? No, that's a lie. In fact, I have written in my Bible, L-I-E. That was a lie. Because he had not performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites for the people's. Notice, this is what you know when you're not a leader, okay? Look closely with me. I just actually noticed this as I'm reading it. For the people spared the best of the sheep. Saul blame the people. Who was the leader? Saul was the king. Oh, way to go, Saul. Not good. And of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then said Samuel unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. And he really corrects him about his pride. And he says, there was a time in your life when you were little in your sight, but now you're just big, bad Saul. But you're just so big and bad that you're blaming the people. And you're lying. Oh, my goodness. And Samuel said, verse 22, hath the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, this is a verse that you've heard maybe a few times, maybe many times. Either way, it's always good to hear it again. Behold, to obey. Underline that. To obey. When we obey God, we are blessed. When we disobey God, we can't expect God to bless us. Now, praise God for his mercy. Even when we're disobeying, God still, you know what? He takes care of us. Isn't that amazing? You could be in complete disobedience and have breakfast this morning. How did you get the food? From God. So God is still merciful. Wow. But he says, to obey is better than what, church? Sacrifice. And to hearken, that carries along with it obedience, following through. Then the fat of rams. And then the good old, the powerful statement that Samuel makes, 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Wow. And then notice what he says. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. You see, Abram had been, this is Saul, but if we go back to our story today, Abram had been given the word of the Lord. Had, right? Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. But he had not obeyed fully. It was partial obedience. He delayed, if you will. Notice his dad's name, quickly. The name Terah, T-E-R-A-H, means, interesting by the way, a station or delay. This name Terah has the idea of a stopping place, a rest area. Have you ever stopped at a rest area along the highway, right? That's a Terah, right? So you can remember this story every time you go to the rest stop on the way by. You can say, oh, hey, remember what Pastor said? Terah, this is Abraham's father. You got to have ways to remember things, right? If you got memory like mine. Or a roadblock. So what can we say about Terah? Even his dad. I think we could say confidently that Terah is a type, I'm saying a type, of a roadblock between Abram and him doing the will of God. Now, who is Terah? Who is Terah to Abram? His daddy, his father. So what is God telling us? God is telling us that sometimes even our own family can be in the way of doing the will of God. And it cannot be that way, though. We cannot allow even our family. I'm not saying disown your family and don't take care of your family. That's not, this is a type, though. We have to look at it, but we also have to put it into our life. We're not in Iraq today, wandering through Iraq, going to the promised land. We're in Burnaby, all right? Just like the promised land, amen. We're in Burnaby, but we're on our way. We're on our way to the presence of the Lord, but on our way there, there's going to be delays. There's going to be things that come in our way of obeying the Lord. We cannot let them get in the way. What has to happen? Well, we have to die. Whatever is in the way must die. I ask you this morning, I'm not saying disown your family, but I'm saying, think of it in that way, though. Is there a terror in your life? I'm not talking about physically dying. I'm talking about in your mind and in your heart, spiritually speaking, do you have a terah? Do you have a stopping place, a rest area, or a roadblock? Do you have something in your life today that is not allowing you to follow the will of God completely? May God help us in that. Is there a roadblock between you and or me and what God has told us to do? Abram's delay. Look at verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Those years could have been spent following the complete will of God, and the best, listen now, the best. Don't settle for good. Don't settle for better. Go all the way up to the best. What does the best have? What does God have for you? It's the best. Focus on that. Don't wait any longer. Eliminate, deal with, confess, move on from your terror. And then lastly, we see the precious opportunities in verses 1 to 3. Abram is now 75 years old, and he finally breaks free from the old life. He leaves out from Haran on a great adventure of faith. Where is he going? He doesn't know. Now we know because we have the Bible. But remember, he didn't have a GPS. His GPS was simply, okay, where am I going today, God? I guess he had a GPS, a better one, right? He was called, number one, if you notice there, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So in other words, if God was going to show him the land, firstly, to have these precious opportunities, Abram had to walk in the presence of God every day. How else was he going to know where to go? He had to walk in the presence of God. God wanted to lead Abram every step of the way, every step along his pathway. Think about that for your life. Abram is no different than you. Abram is no different than me. God doesn't expect you to blindly go wherever you're going to go. No, God says, walk with me. Be in my presence in the morning. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. He is your shepherd. You shall not want. He will make us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters, but he also restores our soul. He leads you and me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God says, I want to go with you today, church. I want to go with you today, Ben. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's anointing our head with oil and our cup runneth over. Praise God. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And someday, hallelujah, if you're saved, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But you know where it starts? I like the song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. I don't know if that's the song, hymn, and spiritual song, but it's got always got a message that sticks with me. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, but God said to Abram, you walk in my presence and I will show you where to go. Same happens for you. Same happens for me. He had to walk in the presence of God. Notice though, verse 2 though. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. See that colon after verse 1? A little bit of English here, all right? So now we're going to see a list of things that God's going to do. Great nation, bless him. Make his name great. He doubles it up. Thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless them that curse thee and curse him that curseth thee. He's got a new home. He's got many offspring. He's got great blessings. He's got a great name. He's going to be a blessing. Don't you love when God uses you to bless someone else? Boy, folks, we are blessed. We are a blessed people to be able to call and be called a Christian. What a sacrifice took place on the old rugged cross so that you and I could be saved. I mean, to say that I'm a Christian, it has a huge blessing in it. but I want to be used of God to be a blessing to someone else. It says here that you're going to be a blessing. Abram is. God's going to protect him from his enemies. God's going to bless his friends. All the world is going to be blessed. Boy, I can imagine being Abram and thinking in my mind, I don't know how this is going to work out. I mean, I just left home. I'm just on this journey. I've had one day or 2 days or whatever it may be off to fully obey God. And God just gives me this whole list. But he left the details with God. And he began a life of faith. And we read earlier that he made it in the hall of faith for a reason. Not because he was perfect, because he wasn't. Because he left the details with God. I wonder if we'd be willing today to walk by faith, not by sight, and then say, God, I'm going to leave the details with you. Because there's a lot of details right now in my life, probably your life too, that the details just aren't quite coming together. But if I say, God, I want to leave the details in your hand. And every day, I'm going to come to you and get in your word and pray. And you're going to guide me. I know you will. Does that mean I have to stop now? Okay. His alarm went off. I'm going to leave all the details with you. I truly believe that's going to make the difference. He began his journey of faith. How would God work miraculously? 100 years later, by the way. 100 years later when he died. 175, he died. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, I don't know if you caught it earlier, he still didn't have the answer. Because he was looking ahead. Think about it. He was looking ahead. Today, we look back. He was looking ahead, and he never had the full answer. Even when he died, he was still leaving the details in God's hand. When Abram left Haran, he did so with all his hopes hidden in his heart. He held all the unseen things of the future in the hand of faith. He trusted God to take care of it. And God will take care of it. As you and I live this life of faith in this old, dark, wicked world, there will be times, maybe every day for a period of time, where you cannot see the way. Leave the details in the hands of God. His hands are loving. His hands are powerful. His hands are almighty. Whether we know it or understand it or not, God will do the impossible in your life and in mine. There's an old saying as we close that says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. You can't go 1,000 miles until you take the first step. I'd like to challenge all of us here this morning. Don't worry about 1,000 miles, kilometers, or whatever. Let's focus on the one step. Would you join me today in saying to the Lord in your own way and in your own heart, God, I'm going to leave the details with you. You're a good God. I trust you. It took Abram a while, but he made that step. When he did, he saw God do amazing things for 100 years. And then he died. And someday we're going to get in heaven, we're going to see Father Abraham had many sons. I won't sing the whole song. We're going to see Abraham up there. And we're going to see, wow, there he is. But you know what? Don't wait till that day. The same God of Abraham is available for you. The same God of Abraham is available for me. Let's begin the journey. Along with Abraham. And remember, the journey begins with one step. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your strength, even in this hour. Truly, God, you are amazing. Lord, I am incapable of understanding how good you are. I believe you are good. I know you are good. But even in my finite mind, I don't understand it fully. Thank you for these Bible examples that we can meditate on more closely this week. And in whatever area of our life, we can say, okay, it's time to leave the details with God. It's time to take a step. Father, I pray for the one or two or three that might be here this morning that are not sure they're saved. It takes one step. For by grace are you saved through faith. We talked about living faith, Father, today, but there's also saving faith. It takes one step. You've already paid the penalty. You've already paid the price. It takes one step. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God. Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor Turner, I've never been saved. I do not know that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. No one's looking. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray in general if there is some. Is there anyone that would say, pray for me. I need to be saved. You just slip your hand up. Anyone at all? I'm not saved. Not saved. Anyone at all? Could be many of us. Maybe all of us are saved. I couldn't tell. But possibly in some area of your life, you know specifically that God said, I need to just leave the details with me. Take it one step and let's move out and keep going. Maybe there's been a delay. There's been a terror in your life. And you need to get out of the roadside rest and start advancing with God again. Just one step at a time. And watch him guide and lead. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation now. May you receive the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. The pianist will begin to play a song of invitation. This altar is open. Both sides, you can pray at your seat or you can come. I would encourage you. Let's take a step. Let's take a step forward if you're physically able. Let's pray together here at this. It's not a real altar, but let's make it an altar. If you can come forward today. It's saying, okay, I'm taking a step. I'm saying, God, the details are with you. Don't wait for somebody else to come. You come. God spoke to you. You come. You come. Talk to God. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear you say, I'm leaving the details with you today, God. You'll just stay and pray for a bit. I want to have a prayer of dedication with everybody today. If you'll just stay when you're done, we'll pray together. Come if you can. Come as close as you can. God is working. Just surrender. Let me pray this morning for all of us, whether you're here or whether you're praying in your seat. I truly believe that God has great plans for you personally, but it must involve that step, those details. Let's pray together. You pray there, and I'll pray for all of us. Heavenly Father,
We thank you for meeting with us this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the sacrifice that you've made on our behalf, that we can not only be saved, but we can have this Spirit of God living in us, that we may know each step where to go, what to take, what to do. Father, I ask, Lord, that all of us here this morning, including myself, Lord, that we're all praying in some way, whether we're in our seat or come forward, Lord, I dedicate this service to you again and all the decisions and all the prayers that are being made, Father. I pray most importantly that it would not be just something that we do emotionally in this moment, but it would be the way we live our life. Because your word says that faith, whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. And so, God, we must live by faith. Would you please help us in this area? I thank you that we can have this meeting. We can have this meeting this morning, Father. We give you all the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name.